have your Bible, if you'll be turning to the book of Proverbs in the 22nd chapter, that's where we'll begin our study, Proverbs chapter 22. In just a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Daniel suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made convenient where you can be baptized into Christ this morning and be added to the family of God. If you have your Bible in the book of Proverbs and the 22nd chapter, I want us to read one verse for the thought of our study. In verse 6, the divine revelation says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I recognize that many times when an individual preaches, you may disagree with the preacher, and that's fine. And there may be some things that in our study you disagree with today, and we may disagree without being disagreeable. My hope is that what we say will be helpful as we think about raising children. And sometimes I'm fearful if we're not careful, we may push our children too fast. You know, psychologists say that being born into the world is a traumatic experience and it leaves a mark up on us all of our days. That the newborn babe is suddenly impelled from a warm, secure world into a noisy, demanding world. And there seems to be a definite trend within the past few years to push our children, and many times we push them too fast. And let us, for just a few moments, notice some ways in which we may push our children too fast and thus make them grow up too quickly. First of all, I want us to think about that sometimes we push our children too fast to satisfy their ego and satisfy our own. Sometimes a child will be pushed too fast in life because of the parents. Maybe in their life the parent had to work as a boy or a girl. They had to go out on the farm and maybe chop cotton or help with the farming at that particular time. And so they decide they don't want their child to have to do what they did. But there's one problem with that. Many times if we're not careful, we rob them of something they must learn in life and something they must do, and that's work. And many times we push them too fast into becoming lazy and indifferent in life. And yet at the same time, if we're not careful, we can go to the other extreme. And we can tell children that they must work all the time, and we do not let them enjoy their childhood. I've seen little children who have been pushed so fast that they do not enjoy the days of their youth. They do not enjoy the days of innocence. And many times it's due to the parents' ego. They want their children to be far ahead of the other children. Or it could be that there was a parent that as a young boy or young girl was left alone too much in their childhood days. And so they go the other extreme with their own children. And they just follow them everywhere they go, and they never let them be alone. They never let them have any kind of a social life. And then there's the opposite extreme. There are some that let their children have too much freedom, and they never know where their children are. And so what I want to get in our mind is what the man of God said in Proverbs 22:6, I recognize is a general principle, that if I train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. I realize that's a general truth because some children do depart from the way. But what he is saying is that a child will always know the way, and if he does depart, he should know how to come back. And I want us to think about, are we pushing our children too fast? Are we pushing our children too fast in education? You know, some of our children are born in such a demanding world that more is expected of them than ever before. And this is so much seen in education, that they are trying to acquire skills that we didn't have to acquire when it comes to technology and computers, and even not tripping over wires, as Brother Travis showed us a moment ago. I mean, they've got challenges we didn't have. And then I want you to think about when it comes to this, that sometimes we start our children out so fast, we want them to learn so much, and we want to encourage them, that we push them too fast. And they don't enjoy their childhood. They don't enjoy being a child because they're always working. They're always being put to the test. They're always involved in technology. They're always dealing with computers or videos. And they don't have time to just go out and be a child anymore. But that brings up something else. Sometimes we push them too fast in the social life. We want them to be social people, and there's nothing wrong with that. But many times a child may be timid. And we push that child and we try to get that child out of its shyness. And if we're not careful, we can push them into a mad world of society and we put them in harm's way. They may be not able to stand up and say no yet. They may not have the backbone or conviction to turn away from temptation. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can push our child too fast in the social realm. But I'll tell you something else. Sometimes we can push our children too fast in marriage. You know, how many young people are pushed into marriage? Some have been led to believe that if you get past 21 and you're not married, there's something wrong. And I'll tell you, that's not true. And I'll tell you, sometimes we have them rush into marriage and then they find out that the many duties and responsibilities that go with it and they weren't prepared for it and it causes much problem in the married life. And I'll tell you, if one's not careful, one can push a young person into something they're not ready for. You can ask parents, could it be that we've just been pushing children too fast? But that also goes with worship. Many times when a young man is baptized into Christ, we want to help encourage him, and that's good to take part in the service. And we should encourage him and train him. But I'll tell you, there are times, if we're not careful, we might push one too fast who isn't ready. And we need to be on guard lest we push our children too fast. But that brings up another thought. Many times we push them too fast to act like adults when they're still children. And we must remember that children do not have the same concept that we have. We tell our children to be good, and in our mind, we think that means you don't move a muscle. You sit there, you stand when we tell to stand, you pray when we say pray, and we forget that they have attention spans that are not like ours. And let me say with all kindness and candor, not all of you have that great attention span. I can see you. And so sometimes we look at our children and we expect them to act like adults when they're still children. We don't want them to mess around after service. We expect them to sit there. And I'll tell you, it's one thing if they're acting up. It's another thing if they're just being children. But that brings up something else. Could it be that on some things, we are pushing them too slow? After you give careful consideration to pushing our children too fast, in some things, could it be that we're pushing them to follow others in fields and they're not following what they need to follow? Notice in your Bible, if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 18th chapter, a statement made by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3, Jesus said, except, look at this, in verse 3, as surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, except adults become as little children, they'll not enter the kingdom of God. And what we understand is this means to humble oneself as a little child, to have the spirit of the little child, to be forgiving as a child is forgiving, to be loving as a child is loving. You notice children aren't racial, have any racial divides. They don't look at race. They're friends with people they get along with. And children have to be taught hate. And children have to be taught all these things. And what Jesus said is if you want to have the right spirit, you must be as a child. And that is a direct command that our attitude be innocent and pure like a child's attitude. But you know what adults say? Adults say, in contrast to what Jesus said, little children, except you become as adults, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And you know what, my friend? We need to be careful with that kind of logic. And that brings up another thought in our study. And here's where some may disagree, and that's fine. But I'll tell you, I'm not one to say what age one is to respond to the will of the Lord. I recognize the danger that one could come and really not know right from wrong. However, I'm very careful on what I tell young people, because I've had some young people that were told no to baptism and they were never baptized. I'll never forget my two. I wondered about Jackson when I came home from a gospel meeting and he said he wanted to be baptized. And I looked at him and I said, "When do you want to be baptized?" He said, "I want to do it tonight." You know what that indicated to me? He understood the importance of it. He understood that it was something that's not to be put off, and he was fearful, and he said he wanted to be right with God, and I was not going to deny that. I remember Sam, when he wanted to be baptized, we said, "Sam, you might need to grow up a little bit more." And you know, one day Sam was swimming in the lost pool and he had on a jacket and the jacket came off and I reached in and pulled him out. And he said, "Daddy, if you hadn't have pulled me out, I would have went to hell." You know what that told me? He was ready. In fact, the business, he wasn't going to take no for an answer. He came forward that Sunday night to be baptized. And sometimes if we're not careful, we make a judgment for a child when they are ready to be baptized. The truth of the matter is, many of us are hindered, you know, the young people by telling them to wait till they're older to become religious. Now, I understand that some may not know, and we need to be on guard against that. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend. I'm very careful who I say no to. And the fact of business, I don't know in the Bible if I have a real right to say no. If they come to me and they can understand the Bible and they can understand right and wrong, and if they can tell me what the purpose of baptism's for, I'll tell you, my friend, I'm not one to say no. But that brings up something else. What about bringing them up? What a contrast in the way they're pushed into other things into life, but not into their spiritual life. You know, some say they don't push their child into Bible study. And I've had them say, "I don't want my child to think he's been made to go to Bible study. They might get the impression that I'm ramming it down their throat." But I do ask a question in all sincerity and love. What about school? What about their social life? Do you push them there? Do you push them with their sports? Do you push them to make good grades? Do they think that you're ramming that down their throat? I'll tell you, why is it that parents can find so much time to push their children into some things and can't push them into something that their soul salvation is concerned about? I remember growing up, and many of you who are my age or older probably remember, we used to have workbooks for our Bible classes. And I hated doing those workbooks because you'd have to turn and fill in the blank. And I thought, man, that means I'm going to have to be turning my Bible and filling in the blank. But you know what Mother would ask me? She'd say, "Do you got your Bible class ready?" And there I'd go, filling in the blanks. And you know something, my friend? I'm thankful she made me do it. I'm grateful that she took time to make sure that I was growing as a Christian, even growing in Bible knowledge before I was a Christian. Why is it we think that our children need to be so educated in life about worldly affairs, but neglect the spiritual things? I'll tell you something. The older I get, the more I recognize I need to teach my children to study the Bible. And that's part of our daily thing. We want our children to understand the Bible. But I'll tell you, there's something else. Have you ever thought about our life before? How powerful it is. The example we set. Children are watching you. You may not think children are watching you, but I'll tell you, I've got two boys and my children are watching you because I hear them talk about y'all. And some of y'all, you thought good. And some of y'all, we have to say, "Now you be nice about them. They can't help the way they are," or whatever we have to say. But I'll tell you something. You are setting an example. And what kind of example are we leaving for our children? Are we pushing them too fast or are we pushing them too slow? Are we teaching them what needs to be taught, that what is important? Are we leaving a right example? Are we careful with our children because we realize they're precious? We ought not to push them too fast in things we ought not. And let us not be too slow in things we ought not. But let us learn to teach our children the importance of God and putting God first and loving God and obeying His Son and being obedient to the will of God. I remember when I was a young man, I wanted to be baptized. And they told me no. It wasn't until I got in trouble in school when I was 17 that I was baptized. And I've often wondered, had I not got in trouble, would I have not turned my life around? Sometimes what we need to do is teach our children to come to us when they have questions. And we question them to make sure they're ready. But let us always rejoice with them when they have Bible questions. And let us rejoice that they're interested in spiritual things. I was thankful my parents kept encouraging me after someone told me no. And we need to keep encouraging our children. Because they're not just the future of the church. I'll tell you what they are. They are precious souls. Now I want to make one last point, and this is to the young people. I feel that in many ways I failed a lot of our young people as the preacher here. But I do want it to be known that I love you. I realize that you see me as an old man, just like I saw preachers as old men when I was your age. But I am concerned about the souls of some of our young people who are old enough to know right from wrong. And they need to obey the gospel, not to please their parents, not to please anybody else, but because they want to be right with the Lord and have their sins washed away. And they want to be added to the family of God. And they want to have peace of mind that if something happened to them, that they'd go to heaven. But more than that, to have the joy of being in a Christian family. And young men and young ladies, I'll tell you something. If I could go back and redo some things, I would have been a child of God younger in years, because the writer in Ecclesiastes says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I'll tell you, there's nothing better than having some cause to fight for. You look out in the world today, young people, and you see a lot of people have their causes. They want to fight against this. They want to fight against that. They're taking a stand against this. And the media is playing into their cause. I'll tell you, if you want a real cause to fight for and something to stand up for, do it for Christ. We have a cause. And we know it's not a lost cause. It's going to be a victorious cause. And instead of being so involved in the moral issues of today, which is important, but in the political questions of today and all these other questions, start your life by being right with God. Then you can go out and answer a lot of these questions. Because you have a basis now upon which to build your life. You have moral ground now that you're a Christian because you understand what the Creator of the universe has said. And if I could plead with young men and young ladies, it would be to understand you need to become a child of God because God loves you, God sacrificed for you, and God desires you to be a child of God. And it's not for anybody else, but for your salvation and because you love God in return. And my prayer and plea is that not the blood of any child be upon my head. That if you need to make your life right, you do so, as together we stand and sing.